Lydia Ragosin, author of many radio plays, is particularly well known for those she has based upon English historical figures. She has now turned her attention elsewhere and has studied Elizabeth, Empress of Austria. In Crown of Solitude, Sheila Allen plays Elizabeth and Peter Copley, the Emperor Franz Josef. The play opens in the Hofburg Palace in Vienna in 1865.
One, two, three, four. Back up, swing over. One, two, three, four.
Madame, back. The Archduchess is here. She says she must see you.
Of course. But I can't interrupt my exercises, Ida. Please tell her so.
Yes, Madame.
Swing, swing, round, down. Two, three, four.
Cece, I want to speak to you on an important matter.
Swing over.
Cece, please.
Yes, Aunt Mama. I'm listening. One, two, three, four.
Can't you stop those antics while I talk to you?
Swing
over. Dumbbells. All the paraphernalia of a gymnasium in your bedroom.
It's the only way to take exercise when one lives at the Hofburg. Otherwise, I should get fat. And that's very unhealthy.
Your obsession with gymnastics and dieting is more unhealthy. If you weren't so thin, your nervous disorders might improve. And that would be better for France. I've been deeply concerned for his happiness since you ceased living together as man and wife. When I see how he adores you, how he suffers. I am his mother, Cece. I must try to help him. Or at least try to understand you.
Oh. It's very simple. After my breakdown, when I had to go away from Vienna, from Franzl, from the torture of my life at court.
Yes?
Franzl agreed we should have no more children.
You gave him that terrible ultimatum as a condition for returning to Vienna and your duties as his wife and empress.
I had done my duty. I'd given him three children. One died. One was an heir to the Habsburg Empire. It was to be never again.
Oh, I cannot understand you. When you were married, both of you so in love, you seemed to adore him.
At 16, one doesn't realize what a romantic, innocent love can bring you. The disillusionment.
You're not making yourself ill again with your nervous imaginings, I hope. That cough was a symptom last time.
Oh, last time I was ill. And you don't blame yourself.
What are you saying?
When I married Franzl, you began to rule my life as well as his. You took my children away from me and gave them to someone else to nurse the day they were born. Oh, I know you meant well. You thought I was too young to bear the responsibility alone.
You were too young. An empress doesn't nurse her own infants.
Oh.
It's not done. But you did many things that were not done, Cece. Like riding on horseback for hours alone with a groom in attendance. Yet I permitted that as a gesture to your youth and inexperience.
Permitted? I was brought up in the country, free, riding and walking in the mountains by the lakes in Bavaria. You made sure I'd never know freedom again.
I'm afraid, Cece, that since your illness, you've allowed your natural egotism to rule you completely.
My egotism?
I'm putting it kindly, the nature of your illness was not entirely physical.
Are you suggesting I was insane?
No, of course not. That was left for others to suggest when you abandoned the Emperor and your children and fled to Corfu. It's simply my duty to remind you now, for your own sake as well as Franzl's, that where self-discipline is so necessary, the control of one's emotions, restraint upon the imagination, you must use twice the control, twice the restraint.
Thank you for your advice, Aunt Mama.
Cece, I only want to help you both. I know I belong to another age. A more severe one, perhaps. But when I see how Franzl adores you, I wish I could understand why you suddenly became unable to accept such love.
I'd do anything for Franzl. He's so kind, so kind. But do you know what agony it is for me to smile and look happy when crowds of people surround me, cheering and waving? How I hate them.
Cece.
Staring at me, breathing over me, wanting to paw me with their smelly hands if they could. But I tried to do anything Franzel wants.
Except respond to his love for you. You want more than that.
What if I wanted something less, far less than I have? Would you understand that?
I could try.
Some people search always for God.
Yes.
Some search for themselves.
Yes.
And some just think another human being could help them discover God, themselves, and all the happiness they dream of.
Surely that is one's husband. There can be no one else for you, only your husband, the Emperor.
Your Majesty, it's time to dress for the reception.
Yes, thank you, Ida.
That's what I really came to discuss, Cece. Your reception for the Hungarian delegation. You know my views.
I have my own, Aunt Mama.
Yes, unfortunately. I find your support for these Hungarian rebels most distressing.
And unfortunately, you understand my support for the Hungarian cause as little as you understand me.
The Emperor, Madame.
Quickly. My negligee.
Here, Madame.
Franzl? Franzl, why don't you come in?
May I, Cece? I'm sorry if I'm interrupting your toilette. I've been dreadfully busy all day. Well, dearest little Mama, what a nice surprise.
Why don't you sit down, my dear? You look so tired. And look at your fingers, quite inky.
So would yours be, Angel, if you'd signed the huge pile of documents I have today. I thought I'd come and have a word with you about the Hungarian delegation. What you might be planning to say after your speech.
And what she must not say. These Hungarian liberals have been a menace to the stability of the empire since the revolt of 49.
If we can't come to terms with them, we might find ourselves facing the radicals. And another rebellion.
But they are rebels, all of them. What do you call this man? Count Julius Andrassy. France had to have him hanged in effigy for his part in the revolt.
That's why Cece is going to receive him on my behalf. And she's learned to speak Magyar so beautifully.
I hope she won't suggest there's any possibility of the Emperor agreeing to their demands for a dual monarchy and a separate Hungarian constitution.
But if we're to rule these people, we must have their trust and friendship.
They don't want friendship. They want independence. They're arrogant. And this Count Andrassy is the worst of them.
Le beau pendu. I've heard so much of him, how handsome he is, what a hero to his countrymen, because the Emperor of Austria once sentenced him to death.
There, you see?
Cece isn't going to decide the destiny of Hungary. I shall do that.
I shall leave you to discuss Cece's attitude to the Hungarian situation with her, Franzl. I have a headache and will go and rest.
Well, my darling, I'm glad you can still be cheerful after a clash with our formidable Aunt Mama.
I'm not afraid of her anymore. What did you want to say to me?
Perhaps I just came to look at you.
I must have my bath. And my headdress will be here in a minute.
You look so very beautiful.
But not if I haven't had time to get ready.
I know. Forgive me. I'll go.
Franzl?
Yes?
My purpose and destiny in life is to help you.
Yes. Mine includes loving you.
If there's anything you wish me to say to the Hungarians, apart from my speech...
No, simply be your adorable self.
Is that all?
Yes, that's all.
Your national music, Count Andrassy. Does it please you?
Our national music. And our queen receives us in the costume of a Hungarian noblewoman and addresses us in perfect Magyar.
It is perfect, but I try hard to improve it.
I have heard how your great sympathy and understanding for our cause has led to unpleasant arguments with the Archduchess Sophie.
That's true. But nothing will make me abandon your cause, Count Andrassy.
What does Hungary mean to you? What do you know about us that makes you our strongest champion?
I was only once in Hungary, but there's something so proud, free, and beautiful about your people. Like those great herds of horses you have galloping about your vast plains.
When you come to Hungary, I'll show you those plains, and you shall ride those horses. Now, tell me more.
But I said so much in my speech just now.
Oh, a beautiful speech, but court language. Now I am speaking to the woman herself, who feels, who expresses thoughts she hasn't prepared beforehand. Tell me those thoughts.
You're very direct.
I've been through many dangers in my life. Now I dare to speak directly to the Queen of Hungary.
Perhaps I feel compelled to defend something I envy.
Freedom itself?
No, not as an impossible ideal, but freedom to be oneself, to fulfill oneself.
You envy that?
Yes, because it should belong to every nation, as well as to every man and woman. But tell me, Count Andrássy, what it feels like to stand here in the Hofburg, free, when only 10 years ago you'd have been arrested and hanged as a rebel.
I want all the horrors of the past forgotten. I want reconciliation, the return of trust and friendship. But when I walked into the Hofburg a little while ago to invite our queen to Hungary, I was still doubtful that the ideal could be achieved.
How do you think your people would receive the Empress of Austria?
They'll receive you on their knees in adoration and gratitude.
Do you think it'll be enough for me to come in my Magyar costume and smile at your people from a carriage? Would that help them to forget their resentments, their indignity, their hatred of the Habsburgs?
I have discarded many hatreds since I walked up to your throne and kissed your hand.
I think I believe you.
We are given moments of revelation. They can come from a sudden experience of great pleasure and human warmth. You, Your Majesty, have the power to give people this experience. Oh, it's not because of your beauty alone. There is something else you have that draws us towards love. It's a gift of heaven.
When I come to Hungary, I shall be at my husband's side. It will mean a welcome for the Emperor as well.
We Magyars don't recognize foreign sovereigns over us. We simply accept our own kings and queens. I believe that when you come to us and bring your husband with you, you will be accepted, Your Majesty.
Budapest gave us, Franz.
It was all for you.
I think it was very wise to have Count Andrássy in our carriage with us.
I must kiss and thank you, Cece.
For what?
Well, what is it about you? How does one explain the way people throw themselves at your feet?
You know why the Hungarians do it. Because they think I'll persuade you to give them back their dignity. Why can't you accept Count Andrássy's ideals for his country and forget about politics?
My dearest, you don't understand anything about politics.
Except I hate them.
Count Andrássy knows that economically Hungary can't survive without Austria. That's why I'm in no hurry to give this country the kind of autonomy that would mean the betrayal of other peoples who'd come under Hungarian rule, who'd been loyal to Austria and would rather be ruled directly by Austria. Does that mean anything to you?
Do you think if Count Julius Andrássy were Prime Minister of Hungary, he wouldn't treat everyone with honor and justice?
Your interest in Hungarian affairs satisfies your romantic soul in some way, doesn't it, Cece?
I love this country. I love to be here.
Yes, it's changed you. No more nerves. No more of that sick little cough since we came here, hmm? I haven't seen you look so well for years. I'm glad. Why are you dressed for riding?
Count Andrássy is going to show us those beautiful hills above Gödel and Palitz. You were coming, too.
Ah, I'd forgotten. But it's impossible. I've too much work to do.
Work?
My love, I've boxes of state papers sent to Budapest by special train every day. And you know I don't sign one that I haven't studied.
But Franzl...
If it's Count Andrássy's duty to attend on you, let him see to it, as I must see to mine.
Have you noticed that Count Andrássy is constantly in attendance on me? And that you hardly ever join us?
It seems unavoidable.
And does it suit you? Because you feel he's only an ambitious man who's making use of me?
God, show me what more I must do to make you happy, Cece. Those terrible depressions of yours, even after our agreement, you still had them. You took no interest in anything, not even the children. And now this interest comes into your life, absorbs you and gives you pleasure. Do you think anything means more to me? And I trust you implicitly. I know that if you encourage Count Andrássy's devotion to you, it's because you wish to use it for the benefit of the whole empire.
Yes, my dear.
I have to work now. Will you give me a little kiss before we go?
Of course.
Oh, Cici. Cici, how beautiful you are. Oh.
Franzl, my coiffure, it takes hours.
Enjoy your ride with Count Andraschi.
We'll stop here.
I want to go on.
Stop here.
Oh, are you to order me about, Yulia?
Dismount. Oh. I want to show you my country, not have you gallop over it like a jockey.
Very well.
Something wrong, ma'am? Not a broken leather, is it?
Nothing's wrong, Holmes. The Count and I are going to walk back. Ride ahead and tell them to have tea ready in about an hour.
Yes, ma'am.
Is your English groom accustomed to abandoning you like that?
Holmes knows I like my privacy. It's the English attitude to royalty.
Royalty? Ah, you must seem like a goddess to him. You ride like one.
Then he must be pleased, because he taught me.
Such control in your hands.
Oh, I have rather big hands.
Full of power. Let me kiss them. Do you think Holmes guessed I'd do that?
Perhaps he's omniscient. If so, he also knows that I love you.
And that you are loved.
Oh, Julius. When we first met, do you remember you spoke of having moments of revelation?
I do.
When I saw you, the revelation came that complete fulfillment does exist for me. Something I've never known in my life, which belongs by right to every human being, to every woman with one man. You can only ask for it once. And what if it comes too late?
If we share the same life within each other, it's never too late. Our meeting at any moment in time could only increase our lives, Cici.
You're talking of idealized love.
And you?
I speak as a woman unhappily married.
Married to the Emperor of Austria, with a destiny beyond your own personal happiness.
Was that my destiny when I met Franz? At 16, I had an infatuation for my cousin and married him. He was meant to choose my elder sister, but it was all right because my mother just wanted to get all four of us settled with a crown each. It didn't matter which crown went to which girl. At 17, I had my first child and discovered that the feeling I'd had for Franz was only infatuation. And it was gone. And there were two more children to follow. Oh, Julius. Do you think I can ever believe that God intended such a destiny for one silly, trusting, romantic young girl? Have I no right to find love, like any other woman? Isn't love more pleasing to God than disillusion?
You make it difficult to answer.
Do you believe it's possible to become very ill in body and mind from a disease that hasn't a name, that doesn't mark your flesh?
A disease of the soul. It's possible.
It comes to me like a recurring fever, a malaria, a great sinking down within me of life's force, even the desire for life. As though I were bearing a dead, unformed child in my body. Doctors try to cure me. I almost believe them when they tell me it's a nervous disorder. I rush to the spas, I go on long cruises. I try to be well because I want to enjoy life. And yet, I know that my illness is only one cause. And not even the cleverest doctor knows what it is.
Come to me. There, Cici. We are together. This is how we shall always be. Whatever we do. Only what we do may be a disaster to others. We don't live alone in our meeting place. Oh, we can discard a destiny and cherish our rights, but we don't live alone.
No, you have a wife.
Cici, there is one thing more important than the existence of either of us. Before long, Austria will be at war with Prussia. We may be apart for a long time.
I'm afraid that without you, My life will be useless to me now.
No one's life is of any use without a purpose beyond oneself. I want more than your own happiness for you. I think you are a woman who could achieve that measure of greatness. Otherwise, how could I love you as I do?
I think you're about to ask me something very difficult. More difficult than living without you for a long time. What is it?
Give your husband strength when the war comes. Encourage him. Help him to lead. Be his wife.
Julius. It's 6 years.
Since you lived with him as his wife. But now he's coming to a great ordeal. No man should face ordeal in great suffering without compassion.
What do you mean by compassion?
As much as I mean by wife. Oh, I may be asking too much of you. I often have to ask too much of myself.
I shall understand. Tell me.
One day, you and Franz Josef will be crowned King and Queen of Hungary. That will come when the Emperor has given us back our rights. Now, think further with me, Sisi. An heir to the throne of Hungary, your son and the Emperor's, would mean a union between Austria and Hungary stronger than politics could ever forge.
Our son, Rudolf.
No, not Rudolf. Our own king, born in Hungary. Another son.
You're asking me to give France another child?
Yes, for the sake of peace between our nations.
Peace? Julius, yours is the dream, the ideal that costs you no sacrifice. Mine would be the reality, the suffering.
No sacrifice to hurt you? Because I know, I understand. But peace of the soul, Cece, for both of us, to achieve more for others and for ourselves, isn't that worth some sacrifice, some compassion?
You are that most terrifying of men, the true idealist. I've often paid homage to the idealists of this world without knowing what it would mean to love one. Now I know it means denying your strongest instincts, even risking the survival of your inmost life.
No, Cece. After the ordeal is over, when conscience, honor, and trust have freed us from our obligations to those who need us, then we shall come together.
Oh, shall we, Julius? Perhaps I could endure anything if I was sure of that.
Oh, it's true, my dearest. In the bad time that must come soon, it's the way we shall encourage and serve others that will bring us close together.
Even the gardens are dried up and lifeless in the heat.
Yes. Lifeless.
Why don't you take a little walk out there? I've got all this work to finish.
Oh, I'm too tired, Franzl.
Of course. How many more hospitals did you visit today?
Oh, I do what I can. It isn't enough, of course. Just to walk around their beds and smile at them, say a few words.
The wounded have brought a great deal of disease into Vienna. Every time you go into a hospital, you take a terrible risk. I'd like you to join the children in the country.
I must stay here and give what I can.
You've given enough during all these weeks. The children need you now.
And you, your ordeal. I know. I shall stay here.
God bless you. If the whole world only knew you as I do, and Vienna does. Come in.
Your Majesty, Count Cranville is here and wishes to see you at once.
I'll receive him.
Count Cranville.
What is it? What have you to tell me?
Lord Dover, Your Majesty.
Yes?
A Prussian victory. Disaster for us.
What do you call disaster?
The Austrian army is in full retreat to Königsgrätz. If we're surrounded there, it means total defeat. The road to Vienna will be open to the enemy.
Can I sit rest with you for a little while, Franzl.
Can't you sleep? Neither can I.
You should not be alone tonight.
I've plenty to think about.
Can you talk to me?
A great many must be thinking of sending their families out of Vienna as quickly as possible.
Have you no better use for your wife? Franzl, let me help you, comfort you. Don't try to carry all this alone.
Why are your eyes so kind? What are you seeing when you look at me?
A man under a terrible ordeal.
Something you've never seen before?
In one of the hospitals I visited today, there was a soldier who refused to have his arm amputated unless I stayed with him.
Indeed?
So I was with him when they gave him the chloroform, and I was with him when he recovered consciousness. I've never been close to such suffering before.
I see. What has it done to you?
I think given me the strength to try and share it, so that perhaps I can help to make it a little less intolerable for the one who suffers. Defeat in war is something I've never experienced. Not to know what the future holds and what will happen to you, our children, the Austrian people. Tell me what you fear most. I must share it.
For me and the Empire, the deepest humiliation. The Ministerial Council's already talking of moving to Budapest.
To Hungary?
Will the Hungarian people accept the defeated Habsburgs? This is their great opportunity for a final revolt, backed, of course, by the Prussian army.
Oh, Hungary will stand by us. I'm sure of it.
Are you, Sisi? I'm sure of this. Count Andrássy is Hungary.
That's true.
So, if I accept a certain humiliation before the worst actually happens, if I send you to Budapest to beg Andrássy for Hungary's loyalty and support, knowing that you love Hungary and Hungary loves you...
Of course I'll go. But why do you talk of humiliation?
Where statesmanship fails me, I have to resort to the power my wife has to win the devotion of powerful men. What do you call that?
A kind of statesmanship.
For God's sake.
I came to offer you my help and comfort. You've shown me how I can help you.
Strange. The disaster should make you so brave and strong and tireless. It's odd to find oneself almost grateful for a war because it keeps you so close to me.
Oh, my poor friends. How... How I... If only I...
What is it?
Oh, it's just a few silly tears. Nothing.
And when we seem closer than we've been for years, I'm sending you away.
But not at this moment, Franzl. Not tonight.
Sisi.
I'm not going to leave you alone. Tonight.
Elizabeth. Hail Elizabeth. Now you know what the Hungarian people really feel for you.
It was a wonderful welcome. But to see you there on the platform waiting for me. Oh, Julia.
Where else should I be but waiting to welcome my queen when she comes to those who love her?
Oh, my dear. Such a long time. This horrible war. It's kept us apart for over a year. Everything is as you said it would be.
Everything, Cece.
As you wanted it. France believes we're the same now as we were when we were married.
Then it must seem to him as though God has given him back one great happiness in the darkness of his defeat.
Yes, it has that simplicity for him. He has even sent me to you, himself.
With complete trust. He believes you can save Hungary from revolt, save the monarchy for him. You can tell him he may trust me with everything he possesses.
Dear God, let some good come of it for our people, for my children. I shall tell the Emperor he can trust you with everything he possesses.
Now I shall speak to you as my queen, to the majesty you've shown us.
Yes, Julius.
Don't be too encouraged by the way you were welcomed to Budapest. The radicals are sure this is the moment for a Hungarian revolt against the defeated Habsburg Empire. The emperor will have to make concessions or lose his Hungarian throne.
I should tell him he must appoint you as his minister for foreign affairs. That is what Hungary wants.
The emperor must see me. Nothing less than the restoration of the constitution will save Hungary for him.
And prevent the collapse of the Habsburg Empire. The end of what it means to be an empress.
Si.
Oh, I know. We're meant to be talking politics, history, destiny. But I should never be able to feel that it was my destiny.
The ordeal has been very great. I know. I worship you.
Oh, the confusions of my life, Julius. Sometimes they become too great for me. Then I wander away. I go and try and find a cure. Oh, there's no cure at the spas. So I turn again and try to face my life. I know if I've nothing else, I have a son who will one day be thrown into this agonized world of our disillusionment. What can I do for that world while I'm here? Have sympathy, have compassion, yes. But it has none for me. What can I do?
Work out your destiny with honor, like a queen.
I wasn't meant to be a queen.
But you are a woman of honor.
Last time we met, you told me no one's life is of any use unless one has a purpose beyond oneself. Because of you, I have been given a purpose for this one moment in my life. To help you achieve what you want for Hungary. I shall be fighting for you as queen of Hungary, Julius. And I promise that not even the Emperor of Austria will make me give in until I've helped you win everything you desire.
Alien, there's your bet. Now we shall make history together. When this war has faded from memory, our achievement will still be a living thing. A creation of peace, friendship, and trust. Then you'll see that it has been worth all the sacrifice, all the compassion, all the effort still to come.
What a moment! Franz Josef and Elizabeth crowned King and Queen of Hungary at last.
It's like a fairy tale. After war and tribulation, the royal pair come to their triumph.
It's no fairy godmother who's waved a wand and given the Emperor Hungary's loyalty and St. Stephen's crown, though.
He owes it all to the Empress. If she hadn't persuaded him to restore Hungary's constitution and make Count Andrássy his Minister of Foreign Affairs...
Look at her! Who can wonder that Andrássy laid a crown at her feet? Oh,
quite lovely. Like a bride, a young bride.
There's a rumor she's pregnant.
Is that true?
And if it's a son, he's to be called Stephen after Hungary's patron saint.
How delighted the Hungarians will be.
But there's more than that.
Oh, no, you don't mean...
Yes, Count Andrássy. What I ask you, isn't it more likely to be his child than the Emperor's?
Hush, ladies. The most solemn moment has come.
Oh, I'm going to cry. Count Andrássy himself is helping place the crown on the Emperor's head.
The Empress? Look at her face. How she loves him. What a moment this must be for her.
Treasure on earth. My one and only one.
May I approach our daughter, Cece?
You may gaze at her and see how beautiful she is, Franzl. And if you're very fortunate, she may smile and show you her beautiful little teeth. Will you smile for all highest, my baby? No, precious love, you won't. It's time for our afternoon nap. Nurse, take my treasure. Be immensely careful to see there are no drafts in the nursery. If she gets sick once again, ever, I shall go out of my mind.
Come, my love. Oh, my
how you adore the child, Cece.
My other children were taken away from me the day they were born. Valeria is completely mine. No one touches her without my permission. She's wholly mine.
Is it almost as if I weren't her father?
As if she had no father, perhaps, and had been given me in a mystic birth.
You sometimes say very strange things. Aren't you afraid that giving so much attention to Valeria may make Gisela and Rudolf jealous?
They were brought up not to need me, especially Rudolf. Your mother saw to that. I can never regain the influence you and Aunt Mama took away from me.
How you imagine things. All of us need you, my darling, and no one more than I.
Oh, Franzl, it's getting very hot and unhealthy here in Vienna for Valeria.
You really ought to be in the country by now.
I want to take her to Bavaria. I want to rent my brother Ludwig's country house at Garrethausen for 6 months or so.
But you've only just come back from all those months in Hungary.
You came to Buda when you had time. You could still visit us in Bavaria.
How much did I see of you when you were at Gödel Palace? As little as I shall see of you if you abandon me for another 6 months. Sisi, I thought you were happy and I'd found you again. We were happy together, weren't we? Before Valeria was born.
I had a difficult confinement. You know it.
But that was a year ago. Of course I understood. But I hoped your happiness and love for our new daughter...
Another child would kill me. You must let me go away. For your sake, too. Unless you don't care what becomes of me.
My God, my God. I swore I'd try never to hurt you again. After that time when you were so ill and I knew it was partly my fault. I only care what becomes of you, not what becomes of me.
Oh, you're my little one, too, Franz. My mannequin. Do you remember how I used to write to you from Hungary? I said, you know me and my habits and my extension de roi. But if you don't like me as I am, well, I must be pensioned off.
Yes. Well, one must do one's best to make you happy. When do you want to leave for Bavaria?
Soon. I'll write to you very often.
Will you be visiting Munich?
I should think so. Garrethausen's quite near.
I understand Count Andraschi will be in Munich for a few days this month.
Andraschi? I didn't know.
Why should you? If he should wish to wait on you when he knows you're so near, I hope you'll give him my cordial regards.
Julius, my dear.
Your Majesty, Elzabeth.
Oh, to be able to see you like this, without the whole world knowing exactly when we meet and for how long.
But your brother knows. This is his house.
Oh, Ludwig is very worldly. In fact, he enjoys a little intrigue. I didn't know you were to be in Munich. Why did I have to hear it from the Emperor?
He told you. Then he knew we were bound to meet.
Who could grudge us the few hours we occasionally managed to spend together so very innocently? Or is it all becoming just an intense pain?
Is that what our meetings really are, Cece?
I love you more every time I see you. The mind can't control this.
And in the end, neither can the body. Oh, I was never under any illusion. I only hoped the ideal would hold you, and that my will would be strong enough to hold me.
You see, I fled from Vienna again. I sometimes feel enormous compassion and affection for Franz. But something else is stronger. He doesn't understand. Why should he? And I begin to feel so desperate again.
My dearest, let it comfort you that you've done your duty with honor like a queen.
But the child I bore for the sake of your history, as you call it, was a daughter and not a son. And I thank God, because she can never be taken to serve some historical destiny. And I love her infinitely, because she's partly yours, even more than Francis, dedicated to you by my love for you, and born in affirmation of that love.
I honor you for that.
To live according to one's duty alone, that's over for me, and we both know it. I've done all I could for France. For Hungary, for your ideals. Now, I know I must survive as a woman before it's too late. That means I must have your love as completely as I want to give you mine.
There is still a choice to be made. A choice we have to face together.
I know what it is for me. A choice between a secret love and so a secret happiness, which can never really be complete, and an empty, parched wilderness leading to an ugly horizon of old age, which I shall never have the courage or the will to reach. There's my choice between a lesser agony and a greater. Which do you want me to make?
The one you do make when you faced all the reasons for it. Do you know the rumor that I am the father of your daughter?
That you... Oh, no. You, dearest. No. Darling, if there can be such gossip about us before we're guilty, what harm is there in giving it some substance?
Harm? Oh, Cece, do you think this rumor hasn't reached the Emperor himself?
He knows about it. Yes, the way he asked me is if I weren't her father. Of course he's heard.
What did he ask?
Oh, he doesn't doubt me. But he knows how much others do.
A secret love, you said. But already they say that I am the father of your child.
Franz knows it isn't true.
You mean he doesn't doubt you, yet?
Julius.
All the reasons for the choice we face together, I said. I hold these unlittle hands you seem ashamed of. And I see they're fine hands that have the power to control strong, spirited horses. And the power to ruin lives. And nations.
Oh, that's fantasy.
It's true. Each of us has a nation. Yours is Austria, mine Hungary. You and I, through our love and sympathy with each other, helped to bring them together in reconciliation. That isn't history. It's humanity. Now, I am my country's leader. But I shan't be able to fulfill my purpose in life unless I remain in a position where I have the power to influence Hungary's destiny towards greater freedom, greater dignity, greater happiness. I'd feel myself a traitor if I didn't. I prefer to have been hanged as I was hanged in effigy all those years ago if I didn't. And you, Cece, you've given so much of yourself to the same cause, the same achievement. Can you let it come to nothing? Can you?
But all I did was because you said we should come together when it was done. What are you saying now?
You know what a scandal could mean now. Oh, not just our rejection by the people we serve. Not just their contempt, their disgust. Our countries could turn their backs on one another.
Why should there be a scandal? Are there no secrets in history?
Oh, very rarely with crowned heads. Oh, sometimes the secret is who murdered them, never who their lovers were.
You come to Gerdala as a government minister. I'm often there as Queen of Hungary. People are used to our being together there.
So used to it, they're saying that I must be the father of your child. If this can happen while we're innocent, what's to come if we really betray all trust and faith?
It's you I must never betray. Your future, your purpose. What must we do?
Have the strength never to meet alone together again.
Never. You mean only on official occasions with France at my side?
If we choose to live now only for ourselves, ignoring your rank and my position, we shall be wrenched apart in the end by the force of our destinies, by what we are to others and were born to be. We'll face a parting more terrible than any sacrifice could be, disastrous perhaps to millions. To consent together now, that's no parting. It is a union. Simply to part our senses from each other isn't to part our love. It only ensures that others will not suffer because of us, and that we shall be together in a way that life makes it very difficult for a man and woman to remain together. Beyond our youth, beyond our senses, beyond our pain on this earth. Cece, don't leave me to make this choice alone. Make it with me.
No, Julius. I only know I'm being carried away by tremendous forces. And away from the only happiness I've ever really wanted. I've no choice at all. I can only submit.
Those forces, Cece, they're the same for both of us. They'd never allow us to love in peace.
Oh, no. Of course you're right.
But I could still deny everything I believe. Unless you say. Unless you tell me you believe it too.
I only believe in you. I know you're a great idealist and a great patriot. I know that if I caused the destruction of any part of this man I love, his hatred of himself would be infinitely greater than his love for me. I can bear anything but that.
You are the source of any love that I hold for humanity. But submission isn't what I ask. Please, not that.
I shall have to face the meaning of my life without you, shan't I? I know I shall be reduced to the weakest elements of my nature. You have your own greatness to give to those who love you. I don't know what I'll have left to give those who love me. That's what makes me afraid.
How pleasing it is to see the Empress enjoying herself so much this evening.
But shouldn't one expect to see Count Andrashy at a large house party like this?
Not so often these days.
I always thought...
Things have changed with the years. Look, they're still friends, but Count Andrashy is very occupied with his duties as foreign minister. We rarely see him at court.
Or the Empress either. Always abroad. And now these English friends who've come to Hungary. That one who hunts. Perhaps the Empress doesn't miss Count Andrashy so much.
Hush! The Crown Prince.
I thought he was looking sulky all the evening.
It will displease the Emperor if the Crown Prince is in one of his moods.
Well, Rudolph? Are you leaving the entertainment so early?
I'm not enjoying myself, Papa.
You want to spoil your mother's enjoyment, then?
I do not understand you, Papa. In your place, I would let that fellow Middleton know his presence at Girdler displeases me.
But, my dear boy, I like Captain Middleton.
But I told you. When I was in England last winter and Mumy was hunting in Northamptonshire as usual, I told you of the rumor.
That because Captain Middleton undertook to be your mother's pilot in the hunting field, he must be madly in love with her.
He was always with her. Everywhere she went. And now she's invited him to Hungary. She rides alone with him for hours every day. It's an open scandal.
Be more respectful in the way you talk to me about your mother.
I've been aware of so much in the last 10 years. She's hardly ever in Vienna, is she?
That's not quite true.
It seems so to me because I've wanted her and she hasn't been here. It must be the same for you. And for so many of us who love her.
Absurd.
Valeria hates Count Andrashy, your clever foreign minister. Of course, you know why she hates him.
No, I have no idea why she hates him. And you must control yourself. You've drunk too much.
I don't drink very much, sir. The least I do is drink.
Then be quiet. If you wish to be unsociable, go away on your own.
Papa, has it occurred to you? I've been growing up in the last 10 years. I'm 20. And I beg you not to treat my efforts to understand things that worry me as though I were still a schoolboy.
My dear boy, your mother has a nervous constitution. When she has to be at court, she attends to her duties with great devotion. And it's very hard, very tiring for her. We know hunting is her greatest pleasure.
Does that explain why she should always be risking her life riding to hounds so that she can be with this Middleton fellow? Does it explain why you spent most of the time in Vienna while he was here at Girdler with her?
Rudy, if there's anyone in my family who gives me reason for doubt and anxiety, it's you.
I do?
You're far too impetuous in your speech, in your ways. And too many of your friends displease me.
Pepple! Pepple! What have you said to offend your father?
Why do you think All Highest seems offended?
You walked away from the entertainment.
I overheard Captain Middleton say you must go and hunt in Ireland this winter.
Yes. Meath, Kildare. He says it's a huntsman's paradise. High backs, stone walls, no plough, just mile on mile of gallops.
You can't possibly go.
If All Highest agrees, I'll certainly go.
What if I don't agree?
You? Darling. Why not?
I object to your going to Ireland with Captain Middleton because he loves you too much.
Whoever gossiped to you about Bay Middleton and myself was my enemy and wanted to cause a rift between us.
A rift? But you've lived in a distant world ever since I can remember. Let me come hunting with you in Ireland, then.
My darling, that would be asking for a scandal. What if you fell and broke your neck? Think what a row there'd be.
Why should I break my neck?
Because you don't ride as well as I do.
But you're reckless when you hunt. You take the most awful jumps and you've had several falls. Don't you call that risk?
It's different for me, Pepple.
Why? Because you don't care if you kill yourself?
I've said I ride much better than you do.
I know. But suppose I asked you to give up hunting.
Why?
Because it's one of the things that takes you away from us. And you're too old to take such risks.
Too old? Does 42 seem old to you?
Well, you are a grandmother.
There are times when I prefer to forget Gisela's children. Darlings, there they are.
If you won't give up hunting because I ask you, wouldn't you do it for Valeria?
Valeria?
The one you love. The only one you love, eh?
Sometimes you can be almost venomous. There's something destructive in your character. It shows in the way you have such a passion for shooting birds and animals. Shooting them for no reason, except that you love it. It's unnatural.
If you'll give up hunting with Captain Middleton, I'll never hold a gun again.
I don't understand such a bargain, Pepple. Hunting is the only real pleasure I have in my life. It's a release.
A release? From what? From whom? Father and me?
You're determined to hurt me.
There's something you miss terribly in your life, isn't there? Or is it someone?
Be quiet.
Only Valeria has a real place in your heart.
Valeria is a child and she needs me.
So do I need you. I need you in a way that you've never really been mine and I've never really been yours.
Oh, come then. You want to be petted? Oh, you great child.
I'm not a child. I may be much more of a man of the world than you imagine. I've all sorts of friends. I know all kinds of people.
My sophisticated darling. And so?
Tell me what Captain Middleton means to you.
He's a dear friend. A great horseman and one of the best riders to hounds in England.
What else? Tell me. I demand to know.
You dare question me like this?
It's only because I adore you and I want to understand why you live in such a distant world from mine. And father's.
This is cruel, childish jealousy. Perhaps because you're utterly self-centered and overindulged by everyone around you.
And perhaps we're very like each other in some ways, Mumi. Both difficult people.
Where are you going?
To get my gun. To take a walk in the woods and see what I can shoot.
Oh, France.
I've told our son he's too impetuous.
Such childishness. Fits and tempers.
He's very young, thinks he's a man of the world.
I'm afraid he dislikes Captain Middleton.
That's a pity. He's such a charming fellow.
Oh, I'm so glad you like Bay, Fransel. Pepple thinks he's in love with me.
Well, of course he is, poor fellow. Lord Spencer tells me he's engaged to be married.
It's not official.
But you're content to keep this charming man infatuated with you, knowing that nothing can come of it, while this young girl, who might be your daughter, waits in the background?
Yes, I am quite content that a man 10 years younger than I am should prefer my company to a young girl who might be my daughter. Do you know, I already seem old to Rudolph. What I dread most is when I seem old to myself.
But you'll have to accept it sooner or later.
I never shall. Old age horrifies me. prisoner of my body through old age and sickness. I shall better be dead.
My poor Cecil. Is life so empty to you?
Not while I can hunt in England 6 days a week. Not while I can walk in the mountains and sail at sea in the wildest storms. Not while I can ride the strongest horses and school them and take the highest jumps. But old age comes quickly, Francois. Look at you, my dear. You're only 49, and you spend most of your life at a huge desk. You've always inky fingers. You're a petty bureaucrat. And long before you're white-haired, you'll be an old man.
Yes, you may be right. But I've never dreaded old age. I believed you'd really join me there last...
Oh, my dear. I try to be of some use to you. I try. But I can't change my nature, my weaknesses. God should have been kinder to you and given you the wife you deserve.
I don't ask to deserve. Only to love. Captain Middleton has just spoken to me of taking you to hunt in Ireland this winter.
I know.
I suppose it would please you very much.
It would.
I thought so. Tell me, if you think I have the right to know, are you in love with him?
I'm more fond of him than I can explain.
I see. But in love, thank God, no. I shall tell him you will accept Lord Langford's invitation to stay with him in County Meath.
Now, don't look. Easy. Take a good look at that jump, my darling. Come in.
How are you?
Only bruised.
I tried to stop you taking that wall. I knew there was a ditch on the other side. You wouldn't listen.
You swore at me, Captain Middleton.
You're reckless.
Am I?
How about that day Her Imperial Majesty jumped every fence on Punchestown Racecourse?
I thought I rode rather well.
Superbly. You've conquered Ireland more painlessly than Cromwell did. A queen of the chase. From Lord Randolph Churchill down to the local farmers, it's the same. Never seen the like of the Empress, begorra. The highest jump in all Ireland she took this day, and so she did. Be jabers.
Is that what they say, really?
I wish you wouldn't take such damned awful risks. It makes me look such a fool when I try to stop you.
Oh, don't be angry, Bay. I have such a short time each year I'm with you. And I can be myself and enjoy the one great pleasure left to me.
But the way you enjoy it frightens me to death.
Shall I tell you what really frightens me? In a month, I shall be back in Vienna, celebrating my silver wedding.
Oh, it's ridiculous to think you've been married 25 years.
When do you marry Miss Charlotte Baird?
When it's fair to her.
Fair?
One doesn't marry a girl when one loves someone else, no matter how unattainable.
Surely. If she is married and happens to wear a crown...
Cece, the one thing you've allowed me is to treat you as a very human woman first and an empress last.
I know what I am to you, Bay, and I thank God for it.
Do you really know what you are to me? And if you do, is the rest enough?
Is what enough?
To be adored on horseback. To sit there like a goddess on those splendid hunters... like a beautiful effigy on your throne at the Hofburg, wearing your crown of solitude.
My crown of solitude?
You know I love you. Everyone knows it. Very well, I don't care.
You called me reckless. You complained that I take jumps that are too high and too dangerous.
I know why you do it.
Do you?
I know one takes violent physical risks to get rid of torturing restlessness, inner frustration.
Yes, and you are reckless, too.
Isn't there a better answer for both of us? Are you so unattainable? Is that what you really want? I've loved you for so long.
Do you believe that one can be really happy when there has to be secrecy?
Perhaps not continuously happy, but it's worth anything always for a few complete moments of happiness. I'll do anything, risk anything, lose everything in my life. You you want my love.
But, Bay, if you were in a very high position, if the future of nations could depend on what you do, would you still speak like this?
I don't understand you. Of course I would. What difference would it make to how I loved you?
You're no idealist, are you?
Aren't I? Well, what is an ideal? Some men it's political or religious, or it may even have something to do with sport. Oh, people say Bay Middleton's not much good for anything but hunting and racing. They don't know. I've had an ideal for the past 5 years. One I want to hold in my arms and worship.
Oh, Bay. What have I done to you? What have I done?
Oh, Cece, my love, don't. You aren't in love with me, that's all.
I've been selfish. Selfish, selfish. Encouraged you and given nothing in return. Kept your love when I'd no right to it.
Cece, I'm the one who gave you the right to it.
You've given me so much. Friendship, joy, release. But you've also shown me to myself as I do not wish to be. Selfish and hateful, as I must be hateful to Charlotte.
No, Cece.
Of course she hates me. You must take back this part of your life you've kept for me all these years and give it to her. You must.
And if it's too late?
It's not too late for Charlotte. She's waited because she loves you. She was born to have love, a happy marriage to be needed. When you see her, remember that. For her, the complete fulfillment of her soul, her body, and her mind. It's her desire and her right. Marry her and never forget it. Will you do that? Will you promise me?
And you?
I shall never forget what you've been to me. My dear, dearest Chevalier.
And that's all.
You spoke of what you would risk for even a secret happiness. I once spoke like that myself.
To someone you love. Still love.
But who is too much of an idealist to agree with me?
Well, not my sort of idealist, then.
No. But he was right.
You mean you're happier without him?
Without him? Oh. We have a friendship. And perhaps it's the only thing that keeps me bound to my destiny. My duty, my honor.
I see. I've made a fool of myself, haven't I?
Oh, never say that, Bane. Never. One can love many times in many ways. You and I are kindred spirits. We share the same adoration for horses and hunting, and that's enough to bring us close together. But if it weren't for the joy of these few weeks each year, the wonderful times I spend with you, when I'm allowed to be myself, without fuss or ceremony. I think I might be insane by now.
I always felt you should never have been an empress, Cece.
How well you must understand me when you say that.
Will you come back for the hunting next season?
If the emperor will allow it.
He loves you, too. I've seen that.
Yes, he loves me. And I should think of his happiness much more than I've done for years. I know I must try to make his life a little happier.
You really care for him.
I respect and admire him. I know his goodness and patience better. Much better than history ever will.
But what can you do for him, Cece?
I don't know. Perhaps I can find him someone who can take my place in his leisure time.
Good Lord. The Emperor?
Why not? It would be a greater kindness than staying at his side all the time. My odd ways soon depress him. Everyone thinks me eccentric because of the way I care for my health. It's not caprice or vanity, Bay. It's terror. To be caged in a useless body by old age. Disgusting infirmities. I've told France I pray I shall be dead before that happens.
Well, no wonder he gets depressed.
Of course. I can never give happiness to those near to me.
Well, I suppose not until you can find your own. Cece, I know this time our goodbyes are going to be different from any we've said in the past or any we're going to say in the future. Because we'll hunt the fox together again, you'll see.
Yes, Bay.
I only want to tell you I'll guard your name, honor your trust always. With all my love and all my respect. And I ask you to accept my friendship, my service, and devotion. Always.
It's a privilege I wish I deserved, Bay.
Will you give me your hand? Never seen the like of Her Majesty the Empress. Never seen the like.
I'm sorry, Count Cranville. Do you wish to see the Emperor very urgently?
I've brought the documents he asked for, that's all.
Then may I ask you to wait a little? The Emperor has been working since dawn, as usual. Now Madame Schratt has arrived and is persuading His Majesty to take some coffee.
Madame Schratt? Oh, of course. Of course, it's usually this time of the morning, isn't it? I should have remembered.
Now you must have another roll and more coffee, Franz.
Good gracious, why should I?
Because you were at your desk at 6 o'clock this morning, and it's still a long time before your luncheon.
Very well, Gnädige Frau, another roll and more coffee.
That's right. You see, while the Empress is away, there must always be someone to take care of all highest.
Sisi chose you. God bless her. She chose you to be my comfort and my joy, Katerina.
You happened to admire my acting, dearest, when I was at the Hoftheater. Don't forget that. It's important to me.
Yes. Sisi knew I'd fallen in love with you. My young, beautiful, kindest and serene Katsi.
Don't exaggerate, Franz. I've buttered your roll for you. I'm 36 and I ought to be losing a little weight.
Oh, ought you?
Not too much sugar,
Cece knows you care for me as much as she wishes she could care for me herself, and doesn't.
Is there any news of the Empress returning to Vienna?
I don't think so. You know how it is. The sciatica makes her give up hunting, a great blow. She doesn't accept that one isn't young at 50. So she's restless. Even when she stops her wanderings for a bit, she prefers to stay in Hungary, not Vienna.
Hungary?
There's always been this deep friendship between the Empress and Count Andrássy. I don't know what will happen when she hears he's dying.
Dying?
We must keep it from her as long as possible. No more shocks, the doctors told me. It's been difficult since her nervous troubles started again.
Franz, it's important that the Empress should return to Vienna as soon as possible.
What? Oh, good heavens, why?
Both of us know there's something very wrong with the Crown Prince. It's time his mother knew, too.
Rudolf, something wrong? Exaggeration. He goes out too much, leads too fast a life, perhaps. But now his wife's given him a child, he'll settle down.
Do you need me to tell you he almost detests the sight of his wife?
Exaggeration.
He keeps his bachelor apartments at the Hofburg and surrounds himself with dubious people.
He's very young, still very immature.
These people take advantage and prey on him because they know he's very sick. Because they know he's destroying himself with drugs.
One must not exaggerate.
Does his mother know? Franz, you can't keep it from her.
No shocks, the doctors say. No shocks.
But if she's the only person who could help him...
I am afraid Cece has her own problems.
But if Rudolf loves her, if he'd listen to her, if she could take him in her arms and understand why he must have drugs, help him to overcome the need.
There's plenty of time for him to find his feet and recognize his destiny. But Cece... Well, you know... We've only been friends for rather a long time now.
I know. But she's my friend, too. I love her, as we all do, and yet I feel that...
Yes, but one must still take care of Cece.
By keeping the truth from her. Oh, Franz, are you sure?
By now I realize I wasn't born to understand my wife, only to care for her. That's why I never ask her to bear what I can bear alone. I shall have nothing to do with bringing her back to Vienna before she wishes to come.
Hence, or to Dady?
To Dady.
To Dady. Diomedei?
Diomedei.
Diomedei, Palas Athenis. Dokai, menos koi. Oh! Am I making progress?
Great progress, Your Majesty.
I should be studying ancient Greek in my dear Corfu in the sun, not in Vienna in the dead of winter.
It is surely the desire to master the glory of Homer that counts, Madame, not where one studies.
But one is constantly being interrupted by trivialities at the Hofburg, receptions and state occasions, and my hairdresser will be here in a few minutes. What did I tell you? Come in.
Your Majesty, Baron Hopska is here and wants to see you.
The Baron must wait. I haven't finished my Greek lesson.
Madame, I beg you to see him. He has some bad news of the Crown Prince.
Rudolph?
I will go, Madame.
Thank you. Yes. Tell Baron Hopska to come in.
Presentation interruption. End of spur 3. Out and over to the 4th, the final spur following, for the conclusion of Crown of Solitude by Lydia Rogosin. Dealing with Elizabeth, Empress of Austria. The listing time for this point, I estimate, at 1 hour, 11 and a half minutes. Out and over now. No signal follows from this point on this penultimate spur. Historical romances that are largely factual. On this final spur, I resume to completion pet presentation number 6 of the tape, Crown of Solitude by Lydia Rogosin, from the BBC as broadcast in the north of England in November of 1969. I have already recorded, on the penultimate spur preceding, 1 hour, 11.5 minutes of this account of Elizabeth, Empress of Austria, in Vienna, on or about the calendar year 1865.
Madam Schratt, I've brought the Emperor to you. You know what has happened.
Yes, I know.
I leave him with you. We both have great need of compassion. I know I must turn elsewhere to find it.
Oh, my dear Cece, how I wanted to be in Vienna with you at that tragic time.
How I needed my one true friend, Julius. They tell me you're ill.
Not so ill that I couldn't drag myself to Budapest to see my queen.
You should put your feet up on the sofa, my dear.
Oh, now, please, allow me the dignity of behaving as I should in the presence of my queen.
Oh, Julius. Julius, please get better. I can't bear any more great sorrows.
I'll do anything I can for you. But I know I can't erase what you had to bear over Rudolph's death.
Of course you know the truth now. The whole world knows it. He shot the little Vetsera girl, then shot himself. My son was a murderer and a degenerate. And the blame was mine.
No, no, no. You can't blame yourself for the weakness in Rudolph that made him destroy himself.
His death only proved my uselessness as his mother. And as a wife, it's the same. I only come between France and Frau Schratt. He needs her. She gives him comfort and peace. I sometimes feel my position so ridiculous that I envy Rudolph. But it's not knowing what comes afterwards.
Cece, I beg you not to let me leave you with a doubt in my mind.
Why do you say leave?
We're both old enough to look death in the eye, my dearest.
Oh, Julia, my love, give me your hands. You're not telling me the truth. It's not the truth. Oh, what would I be without you? It's only through you, the strength and the will I've had to bear my life, to accept only because of you, to fail everything, but not you.
Then what are your tears for, eh? Oh, don't you see, if we hadn't made our sacrifice together all those years ago, I'd still have come to this. But in God knows what disgrace and remorse.
I know. I know.
Both of us managed to fulfill something more important than private happiness. Don't you remember what I said to you? It was a union, my love. Beyond our youth, beyond our senses, beyond our pain.
Yes, I agreed.
When we part for the last time, so long as you go on living in the way you must and bearing your destiny as an empress, as a proud, brave woman, we shall still be together.
I don't want to go on, Julius. When I look forward and see life stretching out for years to come, I could go mad. I'm useless to everyone. I know death will be better for me and better for those who love me.
Do you really believe that when the moment comes, you won't regret leaving this world?
I shall be leaving nothing I could possibly regret. Look at me. I'm 52, Julius.
And still so beautiful, Cece. You can still live the finest moments of your life. Be with your people who trust you. Comfort them in bad times, as you've always done.
Never again. Without you, I can't go on forcing myself to be what I was never meant to be.
My wish for you, Cece, is reconciliation. Reconciliation with the purpose and the burdens God gave you for your life. Even though perhaps nothing but old age will bring you to it.
Oh, if God is merciful, old age is the final torment I'll be spared.
I asked you one thing just now. You didn't answer.
What was it?
I asked you not to leave me with a doubt in my mind. I meant, don't let me doubt that you could interfere with the course of the life you were meant to live.
Oh, you must have heard how some people are frightened for me when I wander about at great heights in the mountains or stand on the edge of waterfalls. No, Ulysses, I'm not quite mad, not quite. All I ask is that when the time comes, I'll die alone, far from those I love, and for death to take me unaware.
Unaware.
I've told my daughters, they know, so does France, that I long to die. And yet you're always right, Ulysses. When it comes, I may not have the courage to leave this world without regret. That's why I want it to be. Suddenly.
Hey, Lucchini.
You want something?
Not working today, Lucchini. Don't need the money, hmm?
I got more than money to think about today.
What then? Revolution, huh?
That's it. Revolution.
Oh, haven't you heard that Luigi Lucchini is the most dangerous and important revolutionary in Geneva, huh? Yeah.
Don't laugh at me, you bastards. One day I'll show you. You don't get the ideal socialist society sitting around talking about it like you lot.
No, you have to start a revolution. When are you going to start your revolution, Lucchini?
One man can change the face of the world.
Hey, he's serious.
You worms better get back to your work or you'll be late.
Hey, Lucchini.
What?
Did you steal that file from the building site?
What file?
The one sticking out of your inside pocket.
I bought it.
What for? If you aren't going to work.
I don't talk to you.
Where are you going, Lucchini?
Over to Geneva.
Oh, you got a girl there.
Yes, I got to meet a woman there. An old woman.
Oh. She likes you, hmm?
She's rich. She got everything. Everything in the world. Palaces, servants. And she's done nothing. Useless old woman. All bones like a dead chicken. Wrinkles, old. But she got millions.
You know this old woman, Luigi?
She don't know my name. It's funny. She's never going to know my name. But the whole world is going to know it.
Hey, what is her name?
No time now. Got to catch the steamer to Geneva.
Shouldn't we hurry a little, madame? The steamer will leave in a few minutes.
Oh, I'm enjoying myself, Irma. I can hardly remember when I last felt so well. I'm glad I accepted Baroness Rothschild's invitation to Geneva. That was a delicious dinner last night. You will send the Emperor the menu I gave you.
As soon as we get back to Territe.
Underline the tambal de volaille. Don't forget that.
I will not. But I wish Your Majesty hadn't decided to walk along the quay alone. The Baron warned you. Geneva's full of the most dangerous anarchists in Europe.
Anarchists? Oh, what would they want with an old woman like me?
I shall only be happy when we are safely back in Vienna.
Vienna. Do you know, Irma, in all these years I've been away, I thought I shouldn't mind if I never saw Vienna again. Now I think I'm a little homesick. I long to see my daughters and the Emperor. I miss him. I must be getting old.
Your Majesty is only 60.
60? Oh, my God, the threshold of old age.
Oh, we shall miss the steamer, madame.
We should be in time. They're walking on board quite slowly. Look at the lake, Irma. Isn't it serene? Old age. I suppose France and I could spend it in the country together. How strange. To be able to think of it. Is that what it means? Reconciliation with the purpose and the burdens God gave me.
You must hurry, madame.
Yes, I'm coming, Irma. Oh, who
use this young man in such a hurry. Oh, be careful, Irma. He's going to...
Thank you for coming to me, Katerina.
Franz.
This telegram says the murderer was caught. His name is Luigi Lucchini.
So, he was caught.
No one will ever know how much I loved her. Oh. Is nothing to be spared me on this earth?
Weep, my dear. Weep.
When my son died, Cece sent me to you for comfort.
Yes.
I'm old now. I should be able to face death with much more.
I shall always be with you. For her sake, too.
She... been away so long. Always wandering, always restless. I was planning to go and see her in Switzerland quite soon.
Yes, you told me she looked forward to seeing you.
At one time I thought, perhaps, that Cece and I might come together in our old age. But she dreaded growing old.
Poor dear lady.
She once said to me, that all she asked was that she should die alone, far from those she loved, and for death to take her unaware. Do you think perhaps she has found peace at last?
In Crown of Solitude by Lydia Ragusin, Sheila Allen played Elizabeth, Peter Copley, Franz Josef, Hector Ross, Julius Andraschi, and John Rye, Bay Middleton. Katerina Schratt, Margaret Wolfit, the Archduchess, Margot Boyd, and Crown Prince Rudolf, John Pullen. The other parts were played by members of the BBC Drama Repertory Company, and the play was produced by Charles Lefoe.